Good afternoon, everyone. This is the Senate Committee on Healthcare. It's Wednesday, February 11th, 211 day. If any of you have had 211 people coming into your offices. I would like to do the work sessions first. I'd like to open a work session on 227. Remind us, Zena, what 227 is.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 227 allows the Director of Emergency Medical Services and Trauma Registry Program within the Oregon Health Authority to adopt rules establishing a registry of brain injury trauma information. It establishes that individually identifiable information may be released to Oregon Health Authority to administer public health programs. It establishes that information may be released to the Department of Human Services to plan and provide services to individuals adversely affected by trauma injuries. There's no revenue impact and no fiscal impact.
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 227 to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Cruz moves Senate Bill 227 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Colleagues, do you need clarification? Do you want anyone to come up? Okay. All right, clerk will call the roll.
Senator Shields.
Aye.
Senator Hayward.
Excused.
Senator
Knope. Aye.
Vice Chair Cruz.
Aye.
Chair Montes Anderson.
Aye.
Keep you on your toes.
Oh, motion carries. And is there someone who would like to carry this bill?
I would.
It's Senator Chip Shields will carry 227. I will open a work session on Senate Bill 230. Zena?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 230 expands the Healthcare Workforce Regulatory Board from 7 to 10 healthcare professional licensing boards. It requires healthcare professional licensing boards to submit information when applying for licensure renewal. It requires the Oregon Health Authority to collect information in a healthcare workforce database. It establishes that the database will include data on state healthcare workforce diversity and requires submission of information only when renewing the license. There's a dash one amendment which removes the Nursing Home Administrators Board and adds the Respiratory Therapist and Polysomnography Technologist Licensing Board. There is no revenue impact and there is a fiscal impact.
There is a fiscal impact.
There's a statement. What is it?
It's a minimal fiscal impact with a cost ranging from $9,000 to $40,000.
Which is under the limit, so we're fine. Madam Chair, I move the dash one amendment to Senate Bill 230.
Okay, Senator Cruz moves the dash one amendments to Senate Bill 230. Is there any discussion? Is there any opposition? So ordered.
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 230 as amended by the dash one amendment to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Cruz moves Senate Bill 230 with the dash one amendments to the floor with a due pass recommendation. And I know that there was a concern from the Optometric Society or whatever it's called. Nikki, will you come up here and put on the record?
Yes, Chair Montes Anderson, members of the committee. My name is Nikki Terzieff, and I am here on behalf of the Oregon Optometric Physicians Association, as well as the Oregon Pharmacy Coalition and Occupational Therapy Association. And we really are very deeply appreciative of both the agency's understanding and the committee's granting us a little bit of time to have some conversations with our folks. We are good to go.
All right. Thank you very much. Do you want to be called up? Okay. All right. So, no further discussion. Clerk will call the roll.
Senator Knope.
Aye.
Senator Shields.
Aye.
Senator Steiner Hayward.
Excused.
Vice Chair Cruz.
Aye.
Chair Montes Anderson.
Aye. Motion carries, and Senator Cruz will carry the bill. With that, I'll close the work session on Senate Bill 230 and open a public hearing on Senate Bill 145. Zena?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 145 defines small employer as the term used in federal law. There's no revenue impact and a minimal fiscal impact.
And I think Tom is here today. Oh, and Doug, okay.
Ramona Sanderson, members of the committee. For the record, Tom Holt, Cambia Health Solutions. Thank you for indulging our calendar challenge earlier this week. We're here in support of Senate Bill 145. This bill is prompted. It's very straightforward. It simply takes in Oregon law, cites the federal law as it defines small employer. So then we're fully aligned with the ACA. There's no longer a need for us to have our own unique definition. It's prompted by, frankly, the chaos we all went through the end of 2013 when changes were made very late on the calendar in the individual market. It was a struggle for consumers, and it was challenging for carriers. And so the rationale here is to refer to the federal definition is so that if the federal government changes when they do things or how they define a small group, we can change with the rest of the country at the same time and be better prepared to do that in advance. Now, the bill, as it stands, only deals with if there's a, you know, practically speaking, if there's a statutory change at the federal level, then we would then be changing with them. But if the administration were to take an administrative action to change timelines or other things in relation to small group, this bill would not allow us to do that. You may wish to consider expanding the scope of the bill to allow that kind of flexibility and direct DCBS to do that. But that's a policy call on your part. We certainly would not be opposed to that. At this point in time on the calendar, we're just thinking about how can we most prudently prepare for the next phase of the ACA, and that's the phase-in of small group expansion, therefore the bill. And so with that, I'd be happy to take questions.
Would you want an amendment to this?
We'd be happy to work with you on that if that's the committee's desire.
I'd like to hear from the agency first.
Okay. Doug Barber here today on behalf of the Oregon Association of Health Underwriters, these are health insurance agents across the state, here in support of Senate Bill 145. Agents are very concerned about what's going to happen in the small group business market with the expansion from 1 to 50 in small group up to 1 to 100. Our agents went through that gosh, I don't remember what year it was, when the small group definition changed. It used to be 1 to 25, then it went to 1 to 50. That created a lot of turmoil in the market. We expect the same kind of turmoil, maybe more, because of the number of groups in that 50 to 100 range. So we definitely don't want to see Oregon going one way and then the country going a different way. As Tom said, what this bill would do is tie it to federal law. As you probably remember, the changes in the Affordable Care Act at the end of 2013 that were so tumultuous were all administrative changes. Those were not law changes. And so I would very much support an amendment to this that would make it so that if federal law changes or if federal administrative rules change, that Oregon fall in line with the federal definitions.
Is the agency here? OHA? Or DCBS?
DCBS, yeah.
DCBS.
Have you discussed it with DCBS?
Chair Monis Anderson, Senator Shields, I was not in the meeting yesterday, but there was an extensive discussion about ACA alignment yesterday at DCBS. My understanding is that they were okay with this concept that it was discussed there, but I would recommend having them speak for themselves. I don't want to speak for them.
Well, they aren't here, and
right.
So what would be nice if you could introduce a language to our committee administrator, and then we run, make sure that a copy of that is sent to DCBS so that they can be here to talk about the amendment.
We'd be happy to do that.
Great. And the relating to clause is okay?
Madam Chair, it should be.
Yes, definition of small employer.
Thank you
very much. Is there any other questions?
Yeah. I was wondering if anybody else is going to be testifying on this.
No. Okay. With that, I will close the public hearing on Senate Bill 145, and Zena will just wait for
what we get.
Yeah. Now, colleagues, all of these bills are pretty much the same. So I'm going to open. Oh, yeah. First of all, let's open a work session on introduction of committee bills.
Madam Chair, I move that LC 3234 dated 2-9-15 and LC 3297 dated 2-10-15 be introduced as committee bills.
Okay, Senator Cruz moves that LC 3234 dated 2-9-15 and LC 3297 dated 2-10 be introduced as committee bills. Is there any discussion? Is there any opposition? So ordered. And with that, I'll close this work session and I will open a public hearing on Senate Bill 282, 283, 284, and 285, because I think those all are pretty much title protection bills. So with that, Zena, can you bring us up to date?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 282 clarifies using the title nurse and prohibits the use of the title nurse unless the individual has earned a nursing degree or nursing certificate from an accredited nursing program and is licensed by a health professional regulatory board. There's a dash one amendment which adds language to the nursing professional chapter to prohibit an individual to use the title nurse. Senate Bill 283 prohibits the use of the title Advanced Practice Registered Nurse, or abbreviation APRN, unless the individual is a nurse specialist, nurse practitioner, or certified registered nurse anesthetist. Senate Bill 284 prohibits the use of the title Certified Nursing Assistant, Nursing Aide, or the abbreviation CNA, unless the individual has successfully completed a program approved by the Oregon State Nursing Board and is certified by the board. And Senate Bill 285 prohibits the use of the title Medication Aide, Certified Medication Aide, or the abbreviation CMA, unless the individual is a nursing assistant has successfully completed the training prescribed by the board for administration of non-injectable medications and is authorized to administer non-injectable medications.
Great.
We have the paperwork.
All right. Ruby Jason.
So, Chair Mona Sanderson and members of the committee, for the record, I am Ruby Jason, and I'm the Executive Director of the Oregon State Board of Nursing, and I'm here to submit testimony in support of Senate Bill 282 in the Dash 1 Amendments 283, 284, and 285. So rather than testify on each one of those individually, I want to tell the committee a little bit about what our thinking is behind the proposals. And these bills, taken en bloc, are proposed for public safety and for public information. As the Affordable Care Act and CCOs proliferate different types of healthcare workers, we want to make sure that the public is very aware of what they are buying when someone comes into the room and introduces themselves by any of those titles. I'll take the title nurse first. The word nurse is pretty ubiquitous in many offices. You know, my nurse will be with you in a minute. When that individual may be a office assistant or a medical assistant. And since nursing is the most trusted profession per Gallup poll since 1999, except for the year 2001, the public really does trust that a nurse knows what a nurse is, what the information is that they are imparting, and that there's a certain trust level when someone calls themselves a nurse. For the APRN, there you will not find a current APRN title, a license type in this state. nor is the board proposing that we at present do an APRN license type. However, in 33 states, the District of Columbia, and in three territories, that is a license type. And as our society becomes more mobile, people moving into Oregon or practitioners moving into Oregon look for that license type, and at present there is no prohibition for anyone using those titles. We want to make sure that individuals who are certified registered nurse anesthetist, clinical nurse specialists, or nurse practitioners, which would include your certified nurse midwives, are the only ones that can use the APRN. And I will use myself as an example. I've been a nurse for 30 years, an administrator for 26. I have a master's degree in nursing administration, and I'm certified as a nurse administrator at the advanced level. However, I am not an APRN, and I shouldn't be using that title. But right now, there is nothing that prohibits me from using that title when I sign my credentials. Therefore, we are asking for title protection so that the public knows when someone calls themselves an APRN, they are authorized under the current board to prescribe, treat, and diagnose health conditions.
Just a question on that. You said that an NP, a nurse anesthetist, and what was the third one?
Clinical nurse specialist. Yes, I believe in the there may have been anyway, it's the CNS is a clinical nurse specialist. So the term certified nursing assistant and certified medication aide, those, particularly the certified nursing assistant, in the Omnibus Reconciliation Act of 1987, the federal government specified the criteria for certified nursing assistants who are working in long-term care facilities. And that particular title has been reserved for that particular group that comes under federal regulation. And because those individuals also work in nursing homes where there are no licensed people or certified people also are working, we want to make sure that people understand that when someone calls themselves a CNA, they have met all the criteria according to the Nurse Practice Act and according to the state board.
So when they're doing charting, is it required or even if their electronic records are they sign their name and their title usually always?
Chair Monis Anderson, if with the committee's permission, I'd like to invite Deborah Buck, who is the OSBN expert on the certified nursing assistant, to speak to that question.
Madam Chair and members of the committee. Yes.
State your name for the
Deborah
record.
Deborah Buck for the record. I'm policy analyst with the Oregon State Board of Nursing. Yes, a CNA would sign their name as a CNA, so it would identify who did the documentation.
Okay. I would assume that would be the same for nurse. I know when I always did my charting, of course, that was before electronic records, I was always signing RN mm-hmm. after my name.
Yes. Yes.
Madam Chair, as long as we have you guys here, can I ask a unrelated topic? We heard some testimony on yesterday about the ability to use hearsay in medical board proceedings, and that Oregon was one of the few states where that is possible. You don't have to respond to me now, but if you wouldn't mind letting us know if that's actually the case and maybe getting that to the professional staff. It was basically people who had been reprimanded by the medical board said that was unfair, and it's something I'd never heard before, and if that was new information, and if you could see if that is, I know you know, the medical board is not your problem, but if you could let me know if that is true with nursing board hearings, I think that would be good information.
Yes, Chair Monis Anderson, Senator Shields, we will be forwarding you that information.
Thank you.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
Thank you. What I haven't heard yet is why we need another title at all. I mean, where's this coming from? I'm not trying to be difficult. I'm on your side about this. I really am, as a physician, I really want to be confident that I know. I heard this term for the first time when I read this bill, and I thought, what the heck? What's an advanced practice registry? I don't get it.
So, Chair Monis Anderson, Senator Steiner Hayward, the advanced practice registered nurse, again, is a license type in many other states and territories and the District of Columbia. The Oregon does not have that as a license type. However, there are advanced practice registered nurses who are either CRNAs,
right,
who will sign their name APRN because they might have moved here from another state where that APRN is being used. In other states, there is no title such as nurse practitioner, clinical nurse specialist, or CRNA. They are all APRNs. We are not advocating for that right now at this point, nor does the board plan to do that in the near future, because we do recognize that the CNSs, NPs, and the CRNAs in this state, there's a fair amount of them who would like to keep their specialization title. It's just that when we are looking at the public going out there and encountering these initials, APRN, we would like the public to know that this particular nurse that they are seeing has the ability to diagnose, prescribe, dispense, and provide treatment modalities for their healthcare needs. And it's not someone like me who, you don't want that. You don't want that.
Okay. I trust your judgment.
Okay.
I just don't like I don't really particularly like opening the door because I think it just adds confusion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like knowing, frankly, right, whether my colleagues are CNMs or CRNAs or FNPs or whatever, because I know by their initials what their expertise is.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to ask a psych NP who I trust tremendously to help me with my patients with mental health issues to help me with my OB patients.
Correct.
I would trust my
Correct.
CNM colleagues to help me with.
Right. And it still does not, any kind of credential still does not negate their competency validation and their education and their, yeah.
Okay.
But it is out there in the public. The public is seeing these initials out there. And when we discussed title protection, we felt we needed to just run all of the things out there and really just do it under this legislative session. And
rather than doing each one separately, nurse practitioner?
There is already title protection for those particular license types. This is just a APRN. The term APRN, again, is being used by CNMs and NPs and CNSs in addition to their license type. They want to be known as advanced practice registered nurses. And since there is that group out there, we just wanted to make sure that the public knew what that was, that only those particular nurses can use that. Again, a lot of people have moved into our state who are saying, you know, I want an APRN from my primary provider, and where is that? And they will not see that license type in this state, but there may be someone who's advertising themselves as an APRN, and we want to make sure they know what that means.
Further questions? Okay. And then we go to 285.
285 is the CNA.
Oh, wait, did we the nursing
yes.
assistant.
Yeah. CMA. Yeah. This is, again, a certified medication aid, which also requires specific education and certification by the Oregon State Board of Nursing. And so we want to make sure that when someone sees the term CMA as opposed to medical assistant, that they know that this is a medication aide who has a very specific role in certain facilities in administering non-injectable medications.
Any other questions? All right. I will close the public hearing on Senate Bill 282, 283, 284, and 285. And I'll open a work session on Senate Bill 282. Zena, we have all the paperwork on 282.
Madam Chair, I move the -1 amendment to Senate Bill 282.
Senator yes. Cruz moves the -1 amendments to Senate Bill 282, and we do have the fiscal and revenue. Okay, is there any discussion? Is there any opposition? So adopted.
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 282 as amended, but with a dash one amendment to the Senate floor to do pass recommendation.
Senator Cruz moves Senate Bill 282 as amended with the dash ones to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Clerk will call the roll.
Senator Steiner Hayward.
Aye.
Senator Cano.
Aye.
Senator Shields.
Aye.
Vice Chair Cruz.
Aye.
Chair Monis Anderson.
Aye, and I'll carry the bill. I will close the work session on 282 and open a work session on 283.
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 283 to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Cruz moves Senate Bill 283 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion?
Madam Chair, just briefly, I think that you should carry all four of these. Just a thought.
Any further discussion?
Yeah. Madam Chair, this one, out of all of them, it has me a little bit puzzled that I think we're searching for a solution in search of a problem. So I'm not sure.
No.
I think I'm probably going to vote no because I want to signal to the House that, you know, this might be something out of all of these number of bills we might want to take a look at.
Yeah, and I have been thinking about that one too, but I think that possibly we can address the APRN issue in another bill next session. I would like to get input from the nurses and the board in sort of fettering this out, but I have no problems with moving it. Any other discussion? Okay. Clerk will call the roll.
Senator Cano?
Aye.
Senator Shields?
Nope.
Senator Steiner Hayward?
I guess I'm okay with it. I have to vote.
You can't vote okay. You've got to.
Yes.
Vice Chair Cruz.
Aye.
Aye. And I'll carry this one. I will close the work session on 283 and open a work session on 284.
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 284 to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Cruz moves Senate Bill 284 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Clerk will call the roll.
Senator Shields.
Aye.
Senator Steiner Hayward.
Aye.
Senator Cano.
Aye.
Vice Chair Cruz.
Aye.
Chair Monis Anderson.
Aye. I'll carry the bill and I'll close the work session on 284 and open a work session on 285.
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 285 to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Cruz moves Senate Bill 285 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Clerk will call the roll.
Senator Cano.
Aye.
Senator Shields.
Aye.
Senator Steiner Hayward.
Aye.
Vice Chair Cruz.
Aye.
Chairman Sanders.
Senate Bill 285 has passed.
And you will carry
with,
it.
Thank you. Yes, and I am going to carry this bill. And I will close work session on Senate Bill 285.
You're going to have a whole day all to yourself on
I'm
the floor.
I'm going to open a public hearing on 547. I'm going to turn the gavel.
Do we have to pay more? Okay, now what other bills do we want to do? I believe at this point I would like to call Senator Mona Sanderson to the dais. That was my instruction, right?
That's right.
Okay.
Colleagues, I'm State Senator Lori Mona Sanderson. I represent Gresham Troutje, Iowood Village, Fairview, and parts of East Portland. And I am bringing Senate Bill 547 to you. It is called Nurse Emeritus. I am a nurse that may not be elected next time, and if I'm not, I would like to be practicing nursing on a volunteer basis only. And right now, the way the licenses are, I am not able to do that. And so what this bill would allow the Board of Nursing to issue a nurse emeritus license to a certified registered nurse, licensed practical nurse, nurse practitioner, or registered nurse who is retired from active nursing practice. And it will allow these retired nurses to volunteer their medical skills with no compensation in a health clinic or other setting. Rules will be developed that to make sure that the skills are appropriate. I mean, they will develop the rules to make sure that the public is safe. The physicians already have a physician emeritus, and I feel that we nurses need the same. So access to care is extremely important. We do have a shortage of medical providers, and why not use those medical providers if they are retired? And I urge passage of Senate Bill 547. Thank you.
Any questions?
I think it's a great idea.
Thank you. Ruby and Susan. Please.
Great. Thank you. Good afternoon, Senator Mona Sanderson and members of the committee. My name is Susan King. I'm the executive director of the Oregon Nurses Association. I, too, will probably become an emeritus nurse before that many years. I'd like to speak in support of the bill. A couple of years ago, ONA changed its bylaws to recognize the tremendous contribution of many of our members over the lives of their careers. And we think this concept, as Senator Steiner Hayward said, is a great idea. We would like very much to work with the senator and the Board of Nursing to implement appropriate rules so that we have the safeguards that all of us would want, but very much support this idea carried in the bill. So thank you.
Chair Mona Sanderson, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Ruby Jason, and I am the executive director of the Oregon State Board of Nursing. Senate Bill 547 creates a nurse emeritus license that would allow registered nurses, licensed practical nurses, and advanced practice registered nurses to continue to use their knowledge and skills as volunteers after they have retired from the workforce. These volunteer positions often do not involve up-to-date technology requirements and are used to perform in service to their community. In overcoming the problem of how to maintain a safe level of professional proficiency in retirement, SB 547 allows the Board of Nursing to create a method for determining competency specific to the nurse emeritus license type, and of course we would work with our community stakeholders, including the ONA. The board has received numerous requests over the years from nurses who wish to they could continue their practice in a limited capacity and serve their communities as volunteers during retirement. During the last 5 years, the board has issued 744 retired nurse status licenses. Retired nurse statuses. During the same time frame, 1,758 nurses and LPNs who were 65 years or older allowed their licenses to expire. Even if 10% of those nurses applied for nurse emeritus status, there would be 175 nurses available to provide volunteer nursing care at health fairs, churches, or homeless shelter. The board does have one comment regarding the wording of the bill. We believe that in line 8, the reference to certified registered nurse was meant to read clinical nurse specialist, since that is the only license type not included in the bill. Currently, there is no certified registered nurse license type currently available in statute. At this time, it is difficult to estimate the actual fiscal impact of this bill to the agency, although we anticipate it to be minimal, and we would glad to give you this opportunity for us to submit testimony regarding this bill.
Thank you. Would it be possible for you to get wording for an amendment? I mean, to our committee administrators so that we could have it clarified? Or
yes.
All right. So we'll just do that. Is there any other discussion on this bill? All I know is my license is still active. But I'm at a point where if I go back into a clinic, my assessment skills, I think, are just about as good as they were before. I wouldn't want to do anything other than that. But when there's so many free clinics, et cetera, I think that a lot of the retired nurses could really be put to good use to do this. And since I have volunteered before in these clinics, there is a huge need, especially with the low-income population. So we'll just wait till we have an amendment. And with that, any other discussion? I will close public hearing on Senate Bill 145. And is there anything else we need to discuss, Dina?
547.
What?
547.
Oh, I meant 547. Yeah. Senate Bill, I closed public hearing on Senate Bill 547. Now, is there any other Okay, we're adjourned.